And once again, everything we like to bring to the table is in the designer's context, okay? So what the partnership route allows us to do is offer really a variety of capability that the user can select is best suited to their needs. And then the second piece to that, when there's competition, the customer benefits.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining the Altium On Track podcast. I am Zachariah Peterson, filling in for Judy Warner while she's out planning the Altium Live 2022 event for this year. I'm very happy to be speaking with Lawrence Romine, Altium's Vice President of Marketing, and it should be a very interesting conversation. We'll be talking about the ecosystem that Altium is building to help designers and engineers be the best that they can be and give them access to collaboration and sharing tools. So let's go ahead and get started.
Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media.
Lawrence, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm definitely excited to talk to you one-on-one in this podcast, and I'll do my best because I know I'm filling some big shoes with Judy being occupied at the moment planning Altium Live.
You know, look, Zach, I appreciate it very much. Look, you know, we appreciate all the work you've done for us. I mean, your videos are extremely popular online, and I'm happy to do it, obviously.
Well, hopefully this gets the Zach boost because we do have a lot of cool stuff to talk about that I think a lot of designers will find really interesting. You know, one of the things that's been going on with Altium and Altium's development track is building out an ecosystem of partners to give designers access to more tools, more utilities that they can use, whether it's inside or outside of Altium Designer. I think that's really cool. And one of the things that I think is really interesting about all this is it's kind of tracking with what the rest of the software industry does. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that Altium is a little late on this, or is this the right time? You know, what are your thoughts around this, and what's the context around all of this?
Well, it's an interesting question, actually, Zach. I wasn't prepared to answer that. Do we think that we're late? You know, it's interesting in that. It's funny, I'll tell you maybe a story, okay? And it's an Altium Live story, which is, so all the technologies that folks like you work on in our customer base work on are what I would call vanguard technologies, right? We got folks that are on the cutting edge of electric vehicle manufacturing and design. We've got folks that are on the leading edge of commercial space exploration. We have people that are in the government space exploration business. I'm not mentioning names, but that's pretty straightforward. You know, these are cutting edge things and you know, things that probably I assume you grew up sort of dreaming about as a kid, hence you're now an engineer. But interesting, our industry seems to not sort of be that vanguard in many cases. At Altium Live, I've seen a gentleman, I won't mention his name, but responsible for the manufacture of, you know, products that are in the pockets of a lot of our listeners today. And that guy pulled out a flip phone. And this was not, you know, 10 years ago. This was, you know, 2 years ago. At Altium Live, pulled out a flip phone, couldn't use the app that we had for Altium Live. So, no, I don't think that we're late. I do think that we have some opportunities that I would have, as a marketing person, as a salesperson, really at heart, like to have had previously when we talk about some of the simulation stuff, analysis capabilities that our customers have been asking for. But as far as our ecosystem proposition, which I'm assuming we'll talk a little bit more about, look, I think is cutting edge and I don't see anybody else really doing it. And certainly not the way we're putting it together. And that's a hallmark of Altium. Look, I've said this story many times, even on this very podcast. We're the first in a lot of things, you know, 3D is a great example. Now, you're probably too young to have been around it because I asked you when we spoke previously how long you've been using Altium Designer. But, you know, I've been around since 2005 and in the industry since 1999. In 2006, we released 3D. People thought we were insane. And not because it was insane cool, but because it was insane, why would you do that? So, you know, when you're a leader, sometimes people look at you funny, but that's leading. So, I know as we get into it, I think the customers and the listeners will be very excited to hear what we're up to.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned 3D, and I'm sure if you go down the, you know, the list of things that, you know, tools and utilities that Altium Designer has included over time,
sure,
I'm sure you start checking off the boxes of things that were demanded or maybe were just so innovative and
right,
eventually they just kind of came standard.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see this kind of following the trend of, you know, over-the-wall engineering kind of starting to disappear or really totally disappearing in a lot of cases? Because, you know, 3D, you think of mechanical.
Yep.
You don't generally think of the PCB.
That's right.
So, you know, do you kind of see that as helping to bring down those walls between different functional groups in an engineering team?
Oh, 100%, Zach. Look, these problems, as I said, I got into the industry in a business sense in 99. I was in an engineering capacity previous to that. These challenges are not new, Zach. You know, the things that we see happening, you know, poor design choices being made because they went to their familiar playbook. In other words, well, I use this MSP 430 in my last design, and engineers and people in general have short memories, right? They didn't realize, well, that design was 2 years ago. A lot changes. You know, I think we've all heard of Moore's Law, and I think we have all heard, you know, read the news articles that are happening right now. You know, that can be a fatal error in many cases. If you think about, if you're a startup and you only got one crack at it because you only got so much funding, or you're bootstrapping the thing, you know, that can be precious. You know, those days or weeks of the redesign, you know, that could kill an organization. That's just one example. But, you know, we've talked about the expertise and the knowledge of manufacturing that once existed in the PCB design community that no longer exists. So some of these problems are coming back. And I just think that where we are, the play we're making with Altium 365, and then also this Nexar play, which we'll talk about, I think absolutely is the time is right for it, and the technology is there, namely the cloud, obviously has matured to a point, and I think it's unavoidable at this point, right? If it's not cloud, then what is it, Zach? I mean, I guess you're just out of excuses at this point.
Blockchain, I mean.
Well, yeah, blockchain. Yeah. Well, there's some people around here that have talked about that too, but that's a conversation for a different day.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. You know, you brought up working with startups and having to deal with manufacturing and component selection. I mean,
sure.
I've had firsthand experience with that, especially with trying to guide a new company through the process, and they have a great idea.
Right.
They know what they want in the end. And I get exactly what you're saying, having to suddenly become, you know, a design house that understands fully the manufacturing process.
That's right.
I think having to shatter that wall and stop, or, you know, get away from just like kicking it over the wall to the manufacturer and hope it all works out, you know, we need a better way to do it.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully some of the educational efforts that Altium is working on will help, you know, move the needle in that direction. But I think the partnership angle is really interesting too, because, you know, you're not just bringing in software partners,
right,
but you're also bringing in manufacturing partners,
sure,
and supply chain partners.
Right.
And I mean, it's really hitting it at all different levels, not just at the layout and the schematic level.
That's right. Well, look, I think, so we view the world, Zach, in this concept of primary and secondary stakeholders, right? In our world, the primary stakeholders are obviously the designers and engineers that have been using Altium Designer or are using Altium Designer. And obviously Altium 365 then provides this platform to which you can connect to the industry at large and those secondary stakeholders. So these are folks that are in the supply chain. These are folks in the manufacturing domain. But the key to this, I think, from a primary stakeholder point of view, which is really where Altium is really made their mark, right? That was our sort of bread and butter, not sort of, that is, has been our bread and butter since I've been with the organization. Look, we deal with the users of our software. That is our hallmark, that is our calling card, that is what's gained us the success that we have. Is was a novel idea that, geez, maybe if we marketed our products to those that use it and we tailored those products for the users, maybe they would like that. And turns out we were right. The key to this, though, is bringing those secondary stakeholders into the designer's context, right? In other words, when we talk about the supply chain, making it effortless, and part of the engineer's or the designer's natural motion that they're going through anyway, it's almost unavoidable to, you know, it, unless you try real hard to make a poor component selection. Then we talk about on the manufacturing side, you know, look, as I've already established, I've been in the business 22 years at this point, 23 maybe. And they've been talking about design for manufacture my entire career. But yet it's still a problem, right? How many, we talked about this, Zach, I do this every year at Altium Live. Show of hands, how many people visited their manufacturer? 10% of the hands go up. 10% of the hands go up. Yet they're designing for manufacture, Zach. So what really we believe that Altium 365 and then ultimately, obviously, these relationships that we're bringing to the table through Nexar really enable a guy or a gal to do is design with your manufacturer. And I think, as I said, now's the time. The mechanisms to actually solve this problem exist. It's cloud technology. And once again, Altium's on the forefront.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, having a cloud platform that others can join and bring their solutions,
right,
I mean, creates a lot of value. I mean, one thing that I was speaking with someone at Altium about this just the other day, and they had mentioned, you know, it'd be really cool if manufacturers could come on and just submit their capabilities,
yep,
through the 365 platform. So if you find your manufacturer in that catalog, there's your capabilities, click a couple buttons, import to the design rules, and you've solved,
yep,
what, how much percent? 70, 80, 90%
sure
of the potential problems right there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, not only that, but, you know, we had I've forgotten who he works for, but he's been on the podcast before. We like him a lot. I do know his name. I just can't think of his company. Jerry Partita.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I actually saw Jerry Partita when I was at PCB West for the first time.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he's a great guy. Been doing this. Shoot, I'd want to say certainly longer than me, but he's been really in the FAE space for the from the manufacturer perspective. We also, as a woman who I like very much at TTM, Julie Ellis, so she hasn't been on the podcast in a while. I think she might still work for TTM, but these are examples of sharp people, very sharp people. But the reality is, how many of those folks exist and how many people can they legitimately service? Right, this concept of designing with your manufacturer, with Altium 365, through a partnership program that Nexar brings to the table, really allows everybody to get that kind of service. You know, from a startup, as we've already talked about, to obviously these tier ones that are, you know, doing millions of dollars worth of business with these manufacturers. It's really the great democratifier, if you will. I know that's not a word, but I kind of made it up in the moment.
It's a great word. I might have to use that in a while.
Feel free.
So, oh, sure. I'll make sure to cite the podcast as the source. So, you know, you mentioned something earlier, and that was that, you know, this idea of design for manufacturing.
Yeah.
This is something that has been in existence long before,
sure,
2019, 2020. And yeah, obviously, you know, 2020 hit, everyone's forced to go remote.
Yep.
Lockdowns abound all over the world.
Yeah.
And people have no choice. I mean, it seems like that was maybe not the catalyst, but part of a short list of catalysts where it was like, okay, we have to go cloud now. I mean, do you see it that way in terms of the influence of COVID-19?
Oh,
or that, was there more than that?
No, it was... Well, so we were going down this path prior to that. Okay, we had I don't want to use the term dipping a toe, because we were more serious about it than that. But as far as putting it into, because it was, you know, look, people don't like new things. Okay, I talked about the gentleman using a flip phone. And, and that's just my experience, sort of human nature. And there's some apprehension anytime there's something new. But when COVID hit, so it hit us in, so we were early adopters in that regard. So we saw it coming, and we just decided we're going to close the shops and we're going to send everybody remote. And we did that in March. Don't quote me on that, but it was March because it was the end of our Q3. It was the last month of our Q3, and we sent everybody remote. And so what we did was immediately just we had a conversation amongst the executive team here, and we just said, look, now's the time. And we pulled the lever, and we went full speed ahead with Altium 365 and released it and commercially released it and started selling it and made it part of our subscription. And that resistance to it was definitely markedly different than it was a month previous. The market conditions were such that, we need this. And
Funny how that works, right?
it's crazy, right? Necessity, it really, really worked for us in that regard. And it was a game changer, Zach. Absolutely. People came way more receptive to it. And we were, once again, we were just there at the right place with the right technology, and people, they took to it like a duck to water. And most of that resistance that we had heard sort of melted away. Now, there's still some of it. And again, that's not unusual. But for the most part, well received. It forced us to get our act together with some of the sort of last mile stuff and we're still working on a lot of this stuff. It's a never-ending process of improvement. But yeah, COVID was a game changer for us. Absolutely. Made a significant difference.
Yeah, I know it's been a game changer in a lot of different ways, not just in terms of cloud adoption, but I mean just in terms of the way I think we all proceed through some of these processes where we're more willing to work remotely, we're more willing to collaborate online. We don't all have to be in the same room at the same time for every single thing. And you brought up touring your manufacturer. I mean, now you can do virtual tours, and it's totally changed things. I know that a lot of, oh, go ahead.
Well,
Sorry.
sorry, Zach. Yeah, I was just gonna say the major for me, the major game changer there was obviously attitudes, but bandwidth. Bandwidth abounds at this point, and that really made it feasible. And we saw that in all kinds of industries, which was all of a sudden bandwidth made it feasible for people to truly replace this in-person work with remote working. And look, obviously the world will never be the same. I know, I've come back to the office, but I have a much different relationship with working from home than I did before. I was one of these guys that felt guilty if I was at home. And now if I have the need, I don't, I mean, I it's seamless. But bandwidth made that possible, I believe, which is people went home and they realized, oh, this actually works. And it obviously, we again were positioned very well. And then we made a bold decision to just, within a week of going home, we said, let's do it. Let's make it happen.
No, I mean it was great to see Altium move so quickly. I think there were a lot of companies that moved really quickly. It was just
Sure.
like the writing was, it wasn't just on the wall, it was slapping me in the face.
Yeah,
Like
yeah, yeah.
the future of your company and your employees relies on this, so you have to do it.
Sure.
I think what's really interesting though is kind of the aftermath in terms of, it's not just now designers on a team collaborating, it's what the platform enables. And so going back to kind of the ecosystem that can be built on that, I think that's what's really interesting because you don't see that at, well, I'm having trouble thinking of where else in the hardware space you see
Right.
that. You see that a lot in the software
Sure you
space. In
do.
fact, there are some platforms that are just dedicated to linking up all these disparate APIs
Yep.
and kind of acting like the bridge. And so it seems like Altium 365 is kind of, doing the same thing. So, in terms of that, you're building a partner ecosystem, whereas, M&A is still going on. It's alive and well in the electronics industry. I mean, DuPont just acquired, Rogers.
Yep.
You now have like Tempo. There are, I don't think anyone ever envisioned that small of a company going public, but I think they're
Right.
going public through a SPAC,
Right.
who would have thought? So instead of going the M&A route, Altium went the partnership route, sure. or instead of going the build it yourself route, you know, right. for every single possible integration,
right.
Altium went the partnership route.
That's right.
What do you see as the benefits of going via an ecosystem versus right. acquisition or building it all from scratch?
So numerous benefits. Now, disclaimer, right? So the views of Lawrence Romine don't necessarily represent the views of Altium Inc. or Altium LLC. That's my disclaimer. But that being said, Zach, I think the major benefit is this. In an M&A approach, you kind of get one shot at it, right? You get one size fits all. And, you know, Altium has always been democracy, right? I mean, in other words, we want as many people as possible to, regardless of their budget. Now, we still need to make a profit. We're a for-profit enterprise, obviously. But we try to price the products that they're accessible to anybody that wants to put their mark on the world, and, you know, through electronics. And particularly when you start talking about some very sophisticated technologies like analysis, simulation, signal integrity, those sorts of things, it's very hard to democratize those. And I think you've seen some of these price tags. That, and also it's very hard to make those applicable to the everyday engineer or PCB designer, right? You know, you sort of, some of these products, exorbitantly priced, but also very sophisticated. They're almost a career path in and of themselves to use them, right? And once again, everything we like to bring to the table is in the designer's context, okay? So what the partnership route allows us to do is offer really a variety of capability that the user can select is best suited to their needs. And then the second piece to that, Zach, again, my view of this, not necessarily Altium's view of it, is a very capitalist view of it, which is when there's competition, the customer benefits. And that keeps the developers very honest. And it really puts us in a position to create an enhanced user experience, which is what we're all about and always have been. And by the way,
yeah.
it's a lot quicker path to greatness as well.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. I mean, just look at the velocity of, you know, how fast this has all moved.
That's right.
So yeah, totally agree.
Yeah.
I think it's also interesting because I think it gives some of the partners a chance to reach a new segment of the audience, because you brought up that, you know, some of these possible integrations can be very specialized.
Sure.
Let's take like a full wave 3D field solver.
Yep.
Definitely not for the faint of heart. Need to know some math background, all
sure.
of this.
Maxwell,
I see this kind of as
life.
A... Oh, yeah. I see this as an opportunity for a company to maybe create something that has a trimmed down, more streamlined user experience that is tailored specifically to what the Altium user needs. And in that way, get them access to a new area that maybe the designer never saw themselves working in.
Absolutely. Now, there's another piece to this, Zach, which I failed to mention, which is also, I think that it gives an opportunity to the up and comer. In other words, you know, it's a bit like YouTube, in that, you know, and again, I keep saying this, I'm much younger than you, but, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and TV was pretty poor in the 80s, right? And mostly because there was three stations, and they were the...
I was born in the 80s.
Okay,
so,
well, so,
yeah.
But you're probably not too much older than me, but... The TV was not good, Zach. Now, there was a couple shows that I won't mention because I wouldn't want to be judged for my taste in TV shows. But for the most part, it was not great. They were putting some pretty bad stuff on TV. And mostly that's because there was only three outlets and that was it. And they were the alpha and the omega of what was, you know, getting on TV. Okay. Whereas what you see with YouTube is the audience decides. Right. If you got an idea, you're an entertainer, you got some content you think people would like to consume, let it rip. And the audience shall decide if in fact you got something that's worth looking at. And I think that that's another element to this, which is, it gives somebody that may not be a household name in a given field an opportunity to access our user base. And like I said, it's a very pure thing because it either works or it doesn't work, and the user gets to decide that.
I think it also gives an opportunity for a newer company who has an Altium specific solution, or maybe not Altium specific, but a great solution that would never get in front of the audience of another CAD company. Another CAD company would just say, well, forget about you guys, we're going to build it ourselves.
That's right. Yeah.
But 365 gives that smaller company a chance to get in front of the user base.
It does.
There's actually one company who is a Nexar partner, which is AvishTech,
Yep.
and they've been on the podcast in the past.
Those guys are brilliant, by the way. I don't know if you've seen their podcast. They're impressively bright.
I've spoken
Yeah.
to both of them a number
Very
of times,
smart folks.
actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. That's a conversation for another
Yeah, it is.
day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think it's great, to be able to create an ecosystem where people can exchange software ideas, capabilities. It's really a kind of taking the old paradigm of, what the CAD company's doing, just flipping it over and totally destroying it,
Sure.
So, Lawrence, the name of the ecosystem, as I understand it, is Nexar. So maybe you could tell the audience just briefly what the Nexar platform or ne the ecosystem is, and kind of the central idea behind it, how it relates to Altium 365.
Yeah, so I mean, look, fair enough. So Altium, everybody would know Altium. I mean, if you don't know Altium and you're in the CAD space, the PCB design space at this point, then we haven't done our job. But I reckon that most of your customers, if they're listening to the podcast, they know, or your, I should say, not customers, but listeners, most of our listeners know who we are. And, we really had one product for many, many years. It had a couple different names over those years, but for the most part, it's been Altium Designer, at least in our real most recent path of track record of success, Altium Designer. And that shall be it. Now, we did acquire a couple products over those years and companies over those years. Octopart is a great example of that. That's standalone business that offers really search capability in the component space, and it's built into Altium Designer as well. It gives you access to lead time information, etc. Nexar, however, is really leverages the power of the cloud effectively through Altium 365, which is our cloud platform, and really focuses on this concept of the secondary stakeholder. So how do we connect the primary stakeholder, in our case, Altium Designer users, which are engineers and PCB designers, to the secondary stakeholders, which are really those entities and individuals in the supply chain and in the manufacturing domain. And then there's other elements to this, which could be obviously in analysis and simulation and any types of utilities that would be valuable to our primary stakeholders, the user. So the reality is that we have a pretty attractive user community at this point. We are the number one professionally used printed circuit board design tool in the market space today. And that's attractive, obviously, to the partner ecosystem out there. And so Nexar is our brand that facilitates that. So we have an API that allows people to develop and exchange information with Altium 365, Octopart, but also easily embed capability into Altium Designer for use by our primary stakeholders as well.
Almost like the Amazon Web Services for PCB design.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a couple examples of this, like Salesforce, which is probably not that near and dear to most of our listeners, but it's the preeminent customer relationship management. They have a robust partner ecosystem, and that's really where the extensibility of Salesforce comes from. And this is really no different.
That's great. There's a lot of options that could come up, and just quickly browsing the website, I'm sure users will see names that fall within front-end engineering and then simulation.
That's right.
Data management. You mentioned supply chain.
Yep.
So, you know, Octopart, obviously, you know, 365 users can get access to IHS market data.
Yep.
You know, all super, super useful for different tasks. And, you know, especially with, I mean, today's component shortages and supply chain problems, I feel like I'm on Octopart every day looking for substitute
sure.
components at this point.
Yeah.
So there's one, you know, one area of I guess the Altium Nexar platform and kind of Altium's history that I think a lot of newer users aren't familiar with, which is, you know, Altium's history with embedded development.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I think embedded is still an opportunity within the Altium ecosystem.
Right.
So for users that are for listeners that don't know, Lawrence actually came into the industry from the semiconductor side, specifically from, I believe he said, from FPGAs.
That's right.
Yeah, so maybe you could tell us a bit more about your experience in that area and then kind of Altium's experience as a company in that area supporting the embedded.
Yeah, so as a matter of fact, so I was actually hired by Altium specifically because of my FPGA experience. So I was, in my early career, very early, an engineer. Didn't design anything that sophisticated. I was in the audio space, but the high-end audio space. So these, think people that spend even in 1998 dollars, $6,000 for a power amplifier for two-channel audio. So this is the type of world I come from, which is, you know, look, that's way more art than science. And I mean, look, I was I was always more interested in getting into the business side of engineering anyway. My father was an engineer. It was had his own business. That was always why I wanted to get in engineering to begin with. So I had this opportunity to get in the semiconductor business, and I did. So I was with a distributor here locally. It was started here in San Diego. It was called Insight Electronics. We only had about 25 lines. So if you compared that to Aero Avnet, who had like 300 plus each, you know, we were a boutique specialty distributor, and we really primarily sold Xilinx. So we really became the sales arm for Xilinx. So I was an FAE for Xilinx, and then I became a account manager as well for Xilinx. So my experience in that domain is why Altium hired me, which was they were making a huge push in the FPGA space. So we actually had, to your point, M&A. We had acquired a synthesis company. One of the first questions I asked in the interview process was, well, how do you compare, how's your synthesis compare to Simplicity? And of course it didn't. I mean, it just didn't, right? It was no good. It wasn't good compared to what Simplicity offered. But long story short was our play was we saw the future of being FPGA, and we thought that we could build a solution that allowed pretty much anybody with a PCB design background to then design very sophisticated system on a chip FPGAs using IP libraries that we offered. So we had like an ARM core equivalent. It was like a RISC-based, you know, soft core for FPGA. We had all the peripherals. We made development boards, the whole nine yards. And the reality was we couldn't compete with the vendor tools or the specialized third-party tools in the market space like a Simplicity. And I think that's a good example, by the way. I know you've mentioned embedded. Part of that was also we had an embedded suite, which was a company called Tasking. Okay. So to make this sort of long story as short as I possibly can, what I would say is Tasking, since that's where you started the question, Zach, I'll bring it there, which is Tasking was a great compiler technology, embedded compiler technology, really had its success in C166 technology, okay? And that's where it shined. As a matter of fact, before we sold it last year, it also then became really the standard in the tri-core. So it was in the automotive space. It didn't really apply to the system on a chip space, per se, okay? Likewise, like I said, I think it was a Verilog and a VHDL compiler, it doesn't matter, and a synthesis tool. It didn't compete well with the name brands in the industry. And this is my point, which is the partnership gives us the opportunity to bring the best in class to our users, right? So instead of trying to build this thing from scratch and maybe hit the mark, this gives us an instant on capability. So while we're no longer in the embedded space, I don't see why an embedded company wouldn't want to have access to all of those hardware engineers that, as you know, Zach, I think you fancy yourself a bit of an embedded developer as well.
I can do some cool stuff in Python.
Yeah.
I have people that work for me that are much
Sure.
better, but
Sure. But
it
wouldn't it be
takes a village,
nice?
right?
Right. But wouldn't it be nice if you guys were all working on the same sheet of paper as an example?
It definitely would.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel it's at least two or three sheets of paper because
Right.
you've got proprietary file sharing system, especially if it's something secure. You've
Right.
got something like, Slack or Skype or whatever for chatting.
That's right.
And then the hardware guys are over here doing their thing in
Right.
Altium Designer. And then we've got to take screen caps to show to the coder, like,
Exactly.
hey, here's your available signals. Like, we
Exactly.
don't care which one you use, just keep it over here.
That's right. And ultimately, obviously, they got to bring that board up. And so, kind of we talked about designing with your manufacturer. Well, geez, it would sure be nice to, if you're the embedded person, to be designing with your hardware engineer, or likewise, the other way around. And so I think that's a great example of an era where we had an embedded technology, but it wasn't necessarily applicable to our customer base on the PCB side, unless you were happened to be using C166 and or Tricor in the later years of us owning that technology. So that's a great example of how an embedded tools company could come in and really build something sexy that would close that gap, Zach. And then that eliminates us having to go through the process of M&A and then the development, obviously the development arc needed to bring it up, debug it, go through a couple versions of it, and then get it ready for prime time.
Yeah, the embedded space has always been really interesting to me because, you had mentioned like being a kid and wanting to be an engineer.
Sure.
I first got introduced to programming with Quick Basic when I was in third grade. I had my teacher's husband, I think he worked at Intel. He
Oh,
was
wow.
nice enough to take myself and another student and, teach us how, like the basic for loop and, how to print 1 + 1 = 2 and,
Right.
really basic stuff, when you're a kid. I think that's what really like hooked me in and
For
made me want
sure.
to pursue technology as a career. It's amazing what, great mentors can do for you, even
Yeah,
if it's
sure.
just it's little stuff like that. But the embedded space is interesting because it, ever since the, I guess you could say the ASIC revolution, the architecture around embedded has always been like main processor,
Yeah.
bunch of ASICs,
Sure.
link it all together with SPI I2C,
That's right.
throw your code on the MCU,
Yep.
and then call it a day.
Yep.
And now with more advanced technologies, stuff like sensor fusion,
Yep.
stuff like AI, ML, stuff like highly parallelized compute,
Sure.
now it seems like FPGAs are coming back.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if you see an avenue for, we're not just going to support FPGAs. We're not just going to support the MCU vendors, but
Right.
creating a suite or an IDE or something
Right.
where the user can go in and find what they need
Right.
to support their development projects
Right.
alongside the hardware developer.
Sure.
So, I mean, is Altium 365 kind of the platform that serves all of that or that connects all of that? Do you do it inside Altium Designer? I mean,
Well,
what kind of vision would you have if it were ever to come to pass?
I think that's the beauty of it, Zach, which is, look, we went down that path ourselves, specifically with FPGA, and we ultimately abandoned, I want to, well, we did, I'm going to say abandoned it. We walked away from it, right? Because what we found was, look, we're a PCB design company, right? That's what we've done. And that's what we, so about 10 years ago, we made the decision to focus on that. And it was a winning decision, okay? Our
Yeah, I would totally agree.
yeah, I mean our success, and look, there's something to be said for that. Do something, it's kind of like In-N-Out Burger here on the West Coast. Like there's three things on the menu, but they do those three things very, very well, right? And I think that Altium is a bit like that. And again, this focus on the users, that was part of that winning secret sauce as well. As it relates to FPGAs specifically, I think now we're positioned very well with 365 as the connective tissue, Altium 365 as that connector. But then via our Nexar brand, if there's an FPGA vendor, or if there's a, I mentioned Simplicity, which I think has been acquired at some point, but I don't know, I don't remember specifically, but you know, there's a synthesis company maybe out there, or maybe there's an up and coming player in that space that thinks that they got a new mousetrap and they want to put it in front of our customers, they can do that. And I think that's the beauty of it, Zach, which is we're going to make sure that that is accessible to the primary stakeholder, our users, but we're going to make sure that it is in keeping with our ease of use our sort of philosophy of users first. And then once again, it's a competitive marketplace, right? So if that knocks off an established player, that's probably a bit strong of a phrase, but you know, if that begins to infringe on a big player's space, that's great, because you know who wins? Once again, the end user is going to be the beneficiary of that competitive market space.
Yeah, well, I could see a situation where the big FPGA vendors, who frankly haven't really had to be so innovative, because I mean there's like three of them.
Yeah.
They don't have to compete with each other. Everybody knows who they are.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden are forced into a position where, you know, look at this young upstart who's come in here and, you know, is doing so well getting in front of this, you know, the hardware engineer through this platform. Now we have to do it too.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not going to, I don't know if I'd say all that, Zach, just because I don't want to be too controversial, but, you know.
I don't mind. I'll do it for you.
Yeah, so. Well, competition is competition, man, you know. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And, you know, look at all the great things we have that are accessible, you know, to everybody these days. I do believe that's a byproduct of competition. And if Altium's, you know, got an interesting user community, which we very much do, I think there's an opportunity for those users to benefit from, you know, people vying for their eyeballs. I just don't know how the user can lose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This has been very illuminating, and I think we'll wrap it up there. Lawrence, thank you so much for being with us today. Unfortunately, Judy can't be here because she is planning Altium Live 2022 Connect. But for our listeners, make sure to check out the show notes and make sure that you follow the link over to altium.com/summit, where you can register for Altium Live 2022. It's going to be in person this year in San Diego, and it should be a great event. I know I'm going to try and be there. Lawrence, hopefully you will try and be there as well.
Oh, well, I will absolutely be there, Zach. I think I'm speaking.
Oh, well, yeah. There we go.
I'll see you there, my friend.
Absolutely. And we're going to actually have some of the other speakers on the podcast in the coming weeks. So it should be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it very much. And keep those videos coming, man. People love those.
Absolutely. We've got a whole bunch of stuff planned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Well, keep learning, stay on track, and tune in next time.